an expert or an amateur? Expert. Some of you know the answer before the question, or some of you, as I tell you the answer, is there anything else to listen to for the next 10 minutes? We know the answer. There's quite a cast of characters and developments in Acts 17 and 18, and also in our discussion in Hebrews. I will throw in a couple fables along the way, so let's get started. Edwin Friedman is an expert I think you should read. He writes a fable titled Tradition, and there is a discussion between institutional experts. There's Freud and Moses and Karl Marx. They explore life today and look back, look at now, how they founded their expert opinions developed through hard thought and work. And the moral of this pretend story is that you might as well keep your learning to yourself, they say, because man and followers will pervert it, twist its foundations and true intentions. As soon as a movement or an institution is stamped and supported by popular opinion, it's time to get wary. Man will massively pervert all that is good. Friedman states in another book, the amount of data available for you to become an expert, to be read on this planet, the data printed outweighs the actual planet you live on. So what are you going to do with an excess of expert knowledge and truth? Recognize we're going to have to be deliberate about who and what we give our screen time to. We go into default mode too easily when we rely and trust on the experts in any setting. We are called to be 1 Peter 3:15, always ready to give account to the faith that we hold dear. There's not enough time to read all the manuals about parenting and psychology and business and faith. We'll have to be selective with whom we choose to sit at the feet of. We amateurs are called to be expert witnesses as to faith in our life. Matthew 10 highlights, disciples sent out in the midst of wolves. We are to be wise as serpents, innocent and as doves. Beware, for they will hand you over to councils and they will flog you in the synagogues. And there's nothing new under the sun. Acts 17, we study. And note that Paul spends time with card-carrying Jesus communities in Berea. These Christians examined the scriptures each day. They were more honorable than the card carriers in Thessalonica. And today in Acts 18, we hear card-carrying Jews covertly opposing and slandering Paul's speaking of Jesus' truths so much, he shakes his sandals off, he leaves the synagogue and goes next door to the next house and speaks Jesus' truth to Titius, Justus, and Crispus and other Gentile Corinthians who are willing to listen and soft-hearted enough to be converted. God, help us. Fill us with your passion and call to live into maturing faith, not resting on our laurels and traditions, but to be like the 12 who were faithful unto death, in training before the crucifixion and resurrection, and again after the ascension and the Holy Spirit unleashed. In Acts 18, let us be like Apollos, strong and motivational. And as God encourages and supports Paul throughout, let us be unshaken by circles of opposition or slanders or anxieties created. And let's surround each other as the great cloud of witnesses, like Priscilla and Aquila did. And let us be looked upon as amateurs. They call Paul an amateur, and rightfully so. For we are young at heart disciples in never-ending training. We will be willing to be bold in action and speech, and willing to correct and be corrected like Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila in verse 26, as we learn to live unlike any others in our day and time. Here at St. Luke's, the answer, we are both experts and amateurs. John is a lifer at St. Luke's, correct? Pastor Mike, pastoral leadership for 45 years, not just a member, but leading this church. I've been here a year. The three of us, experts, wrangle six sixth graders into a room. We play with them for an hour, we feed them, we do a craft with them, and we ask them for 10 minutes of sitting and listening to God's word and hidden truths.
How easy is that?
How willing are they? And yet, Pastor Mike, this past week, decent readings and insights from these little guys and us, such as Jesus delayed going to Lazarus in John 11 so that the Father could be more glorified by him raising Lazarus from the dead. Also in John 11, as Jesus is seen going back to raise Lazarus, the disciples choose to follow. But this is even with the likelihood of Jesus and whomever was with him likely being killed, it says. John 11, 8, Rabbi, you can't go back. They'll kill you. John 16, Thomas says to the group, come along, we might as well die with him. So they follow these same 12 that we bash openly at abandoners in the Garden of Gethsemane, who scream, let me out of this, your gate and narrow way, Jesus. They had and they have moments of Christ-like commitment in action and true understanding in heart and soul. Regardless of what they call themselves or what anyone else calls them, they are amateurs and experts, taking steps to be faithful while with the physical Jesus on earth in John 10, and now again today in Acts when he is no longer physically with us. Amateurs and experts, we don't know much, but we live out love however you do that. Acts 18 has us introduced to the governor of Galilee. As the crowds of rowdy Jews rally up cries of foul, reminiscent of the trial of our Lord Jesus, who endured the same. So Paul is called out to go and do likewise as Jesus has shown. And he's reassured in a vision in verse 9, don't quit. God says to him, don't fear, don't be silent, I'm here with you. And there are many in the camp of the true invisible body of Christ, alive in the souls of the men and women where you are. And so the story goes, the governor does not care about the accusations of Paul breaking Jewish laws. So these ticked off Jews beat the synagogue leader's softness instead. Again, the governor looks on indifferently. Paul ministers there faithfully for a year and a half. We also have our own version of stark and dark reality now. I've been known to profess that we as Lutherans might consider becoming Amish because they seem pretty legitimate in living no matter what they look like. Sometimes I wonder if Jehovah Witness 144,000 entered the gates isn't maybe so far off. When we look at Abraham and Lot's times, corruption, praying for 5 believers, the time of the flood, Noah and family, there's not even 10 believers in the world. Jonah, Nineveh, not impressive. And even being the few true believers in their generations, Joah, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, are suspect and sinful and disobedient to full heart faithfulness. They are on the walk, amateurs maturing into experts. Matthew 5 processes, a city on a hill can't be hidden. Have you seen the Catholic Church with a big steeple down the street with the artificial light shining on it, the bell ringing out at 6 a.m.? It's beautiful and it garners attention. I do not know what invisible Christians reside in the 3 hilltops of my life. I'm being selective with who I give my screen time to. I am committed and immature, a big baby in a man's body, slowly growing into faithfulness as a card-carrying member with y'all here at St. Luke's on the 7th and Reynolds Hill, on the 17th Street Hill, on the Calvary Hill, that's just a school. Potentially, soon we'll be in a tiny top village on a plateau north of Highway 5. And I don't know, and I don't need to know who is in the invisible Church of God. All members in all of our settings claim and categorize ourselves as card-carrying members of Christianity. And I'm willing and wanting to be giving my limited time in life to be with these as immature and expert as each soul is in our mix. So we will be faithful like the original 12 called by the Savior, impassioned and passionate about taking deliberate steps in the right direction. Fable number 2, tortoise or hare, we're taught to tortoise it, all right? Like the tortoise and the hare, we run the race daily and all our life through, and we get one life. Most of us have had more practice. practice at this Christianity thing, Jesus had 33 years, most of us are older than that, we're a shell of the man and body that Christ modeled us to be for his creation and created. Look how quickly we want to claim, or others want to claim, that we have expertise, that we're the next up and comer in the order of Melchizedek mentioned in Hebrews. And the Father says, I know the priestly order of Melchizedek. And unless you're the Jesus in flesh and blood, you, my friend, are no Melchizedek. And I love you. Keep going. The human hairy hair rabbit side of us craves and garners attention and show and flash. We say and pray, give us the answers. Give us formulas. Make it easier so we're never wrong or challenged again. But we don't become an expert overnight or at the speed of the hare, but through slow, intentional, centered, balanced, methodical trudging through or tapping through, light on the flashy, heavy on the efficiency in a turtle's trot. There's a ton of time in each day and hour and moment if we make ourselves fully present. Let's flip our hard-hearted, thin-skinned tendencies. Those are two tall tasks. Into the model of the turtle, soft interior. We'll sing about being meek and humble shortly, with a hard outer shell that can take a licking and keep on ticking. The turtle is focused on its task and gets where it's supposed to. Let's be willing to get some teeth in our theology and living outside these church walls and shells. And we've watched or allowed the radical living body of Christ to be flipped on its shell, become a helpless, harmless church in 2016 that simply shows up together on a Sunday. Let's flip this docile or harried house of worship style and our very own selves with God's help to now be amateur and expert in every breath. Expert G.K. Chesterton suggests, we're both so passionate in the joy and love for our Lord, and at the same time, passionately outraged by what is not right in us in the world. We're both, and that's good. So we rightly do sit in our shell on Sunday to be fed and nourished. Let us flip the church model onto its feet so that we can come together with resident expert pastor who studies the Bible. And we've already been in study in God's Word, Berean church style, and given face time to the experts and amateurs that are available to us throughout the week, in print or in the flesh, so that this living church body may more rightly be a house of rest and safe haven. For we gather after a week of hard learning and growing as amateurs in the faith, maturing into a Hebrews 6-7 ground, or a ground that drinks up the rain falling on it repeatedly, which produces useful crop to those for whom it's cultivated. Let's no longer be content as a Hebrews 6:1 focus, a spiritual infancy, it says, baby milk, infant talk. We're called to leave behind the basics of the faith, the basic teaching about Christ. There's always stuff to learn. Not relaying that foundation, we know it. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, yeah, we got it, do it. Instruction about baptisms? Are there enough Lutheran writings? How many pounds of writings are there in Lutheran writings about baptism? Resurrection from the dead, eternal judgment. We have things to learn. As Hebrews 8 says in coming weeks, with the new covenant of Jesus, his commands are just plain written on our hearts and our minds. So let's get on to the meat of his word. Let's strip back whatever time and humanity has diminished or eroded from the true, pure message of Christ and early Christian followers. So we ask, let us be like Acts 18 people, like an Apollos in the faith. He spoke boldly. We will stay alert and vigilant and reform steadily and readily the invisible body of Christ. Priscilla and Aquila listen to him and are impressed by him. And then they pull him aside and teach and admonish and challenge him and say, you're kind of talking John the Baptist here. This is the narrow way of Jesus. Good job. Keep going. Let's not simply stop at the teachings of a John the Baptist or Martin Luther, whichever other expert slowly grew into his faith and stature. And here in this living body, let us weigh the words and actions of each other. To be the expert of our faith, walk with the Creator and Sustainer and Judge. We don't have to be deceived. We know God isn't mocked. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that you give us. With intentionality, we plod along together. Help us and heal us, because we are going to stumble and fall. Help us to bow down at your feet rightly and right away, and be vulnerable enough to answer your high calling together.